Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Welcome to our first programs here in July. We're going to talk about a cultural article today, so stay tuned. We're glad you joined us in our advanced class today, and we have some people from our Let's Talk and our studio classroom editors with us, and we want to welcome Linda and Joanne. How are you today, Linda?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks for having me on the program, Doris.
It's always good to have you on Advanced, and you usually are working on the Studio Classroom magazine, but Advanced is fun sometimes, too.
It is. You have very interesting articles in Advanced.
This is quite a different article, and it's on page 10. And Joanna, who is our editor for our Let's Talk magazine, Joanna, is it fun to be on Advance sometimes?
It's really fun. I love it.
So these are some of our editors and people you don't always get to see. They're not always on TV, although sometimes you've been known to show up on TV, Joanna.
Only when I have to.
Yeah, and those skits, right. But we're glad you could be here to discuss the subject with us, because we live in Asia now, and it's a different culture than we were brought up in. Isn't that true?
Quite different. Well, the first time I visited was in 1974, and it was very different.
Quite different than it is now, right?
Right, and also from what I was used to.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Joanna? You've been around to a lot of different countries. Have you noticed a lot of different things about the way people eat in other countries?
Oh, yes. People in different countries value different parts of the animal. They cook differently. It tastes differently. Different spices. Things that are absolutely disgusting to one culture are completely normal to another culture.
So we usually like to eat the things we say we like our mother's cooking, you know, the way she cooked. Even in the United States, you'll find German cooking and French and Italian, and you're used to eating the kind of things that you were brought up on.
That's right. Actually, from the ages of 1 to 10, I lived in the south, the southern part of the United States, and when I was 10, I moved to the northern part, and the cooking, the regional cooking is quite different.
Mm-hmm. But usually you don't have to eat things that you don't really are, that you're not used to, let's put it that way. But sometimes when you travel, you go to other countries, you do find if you don't eat something, it will offend someone. And what does it mean to offend someone?
Well, it means to make them feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
So right. If you don't
eat
something,
in Chinese we say you'll dead zui ren.
Okay. So if you're served something you don't eat it, you make your host feel bad.
Right.
Someone who's hosting you might feel really proud of a dish or proud of their city's special dish, famous dish or whatever, and they want to share that with you. If you turn them down, if you say no, it's like you're saying no to what they're proud of.
That's
which
true.
Is offensive.
You hurt their feelings,
mm-hmm.
don't you?
Hurt your feelings is good, yes.
Right. So on page 10 today, the name of this article is To Eat or to Offend. And I say to eat or not eat could offend you. And what is it talking about here?
It's talking about, well, we see the right underneath the title, we see bizarre foods pose an etiquette challenge for travelers. We have a couple of interesting words here, bizarre. What's bizarre to one person is not bizarre to another. What's bizarre to you, Joanna?
You mean what types of food are bizarre to me?
Okay.
And what does the word
what
mean
does it
to
mean?
Me too?
Weird. It
weird,
means weird.
Strange.
What's weird to me? What foods are weird to me?
Mm-hmm.
Strange. It's
right.
One of our word bank words.
You're not used to. Some mm-hmm. things you're not used to eating.
And we have another really interesting word here also, etiquette. And mm-hmm. that can be used for foods and also for behavior.
That's true. It's a challenge. When you say it's a challenge, you mean it presents a problem to you sometimes.
Right. A big problem sometimes.
And it says here, they pose an etiquette challenge. To pose something means it puts before you, it gives you a challenge. And when you're traveling, you might go someplace and people will say, oh, please have this. And you look at it and you think, oh, I don't want to eat that. But it does give you a problem. You might offend that person or hurt their feelings.
Right. And the reason they're using the word etiquette here is because that's acceptable in that culture, but maybe it's not acceptable in your culture. You would never eat that kind of thing.
It's like eating manners, or do you use your good manners and be a gracious guest, or do you say no because something is really bizarre to you?
And people who are from Asia and they go to other countries, they might go up to Norway and they might not want to eat goat's cheese or something. Or, you know, you might go to some country where they eat something you don't eat. And should you eat it or not? Depends on if you want to offend people or you will offend people. Some people are offended and some aren't.
That's right.
So that's what we're going to talk about the next couple of days. And, of course, pretty soon it's going to be the 4th of July, and Americans are going to be eating things like hot dogs, which I don't think offend people. But who knows, right?
Yeah, what's offensive to, you know, it's by culture, really. Mm-hmm. What's offensive in one culture is not offensive in another. We usually think of hot dogs as being American.
Mm-hmm. But I think they're German, really, originally.
Probably. Different kind, yeah.
Right. Well, let's look at our article on page 10, and we're going to divide it up into three different readings today. The first reading, we're going to read the first column.
To eat or to offend. Bizarre foods pose an etiquette challenge for travelers. Every meal was an adventure for frequent business traveler George Irving when he worked for an auto manufacturer in Thailand. "You name it, I have tried it," says Irving. Frog skins dried like chips, dried squid, fish head soup, pickled duck tongues, 1,000-year salted eggs, and so many other interesting items. Irving says he developed a rule for his Thai hosts. "Don't tell me what it is until I have eaten it." Many business travelers face a culinary and social dilemma in foreign countries. They don't want to insult their hosts or lose a business deal, but what's being served appears difficult to consume or downright disgusting. Experts in business etiquette say there's no easy answer, and their suggestions about what to do are mixed.
So as we discuss this article the next day or two, remember suggestions of what to do are mixed. Some will say you have to eat it. Some will say you don't have to. And we'll find out what our panelists think. And you might think about what you can discuss with your friends, what you would do in these situations.
Right. There are no hard and fast, we say that in English, hard and fast rules. So we're going to find out some suggestions that different people give for how to handle these kind of situations.
I think it's interesting that they call this an adventure. Every meal was an adventure, quote, unquote. In other words, not a real adventure, but you could say it was a challenge.
I think sometimes eating strange foods, it can be an adventure. I mean, it's not the same as riding a roller coaster or going on a dangerous mountain climb, but some foods you've never seen before, you've never tasted before. It's not an animal you would ever, ever eat in your home country. And that's exciting and scary, too.
I call it kind of a challenge to me, too. Right. But this man, he's a frequent business traveler. Now, people who go back and forth to other countries for their business often will come across this kind of situation, won't they?
Right. Even if you're going on vacation, mm-hmm. you know, you might come across some bizarre food or some kind of strange foods that you're not used to.
Well, if you're on a vacation and you go to a restaurant, you can choose if you want to. But when you go to somebody's home and you're invited there or you're out to an official dinner or feast, that's different.
Quite different,
so
yes.
Especially for business people, too. But he worked for this auto manufacturer in Thailand. Now, Thailand has quite spicy food.
In some parts of the country, in some parts it's not so spicy, but they do have, I think, what we in the West would consider very bizarre.
They do. Well,
cuisine.
I think all Asia has bizarre things as far as Westerners are concerned, right?
I've definitely heard of like fried insects, fried crickets and roaches and stuff in Thailand, which I wouldn't really want to try. I'm not a very insect-eating kind of person.
You're not very adventurous that way?
No,
well,
not really.
But he says, like, you name it. In other words, anything you can think of, he's probably tried it. I could name some things he might not have tried, but we won't get to that until later. But frog skins dried like chips, I don't think I've ever had those. But I could have and not known it.
Right. I don't think I've had that. Frog legs, yes. Frog soup, yes.
Dried squid, we've all had that.
Mm-hmm.
And they sell that at the movie theaters, you know, in Asia, and you can buy this dried squid to eat when you're watching the movie.
It's the first thing my kids want to eat when they come back to visit Taiwan.
I kind of like it. Like, I grew to like it, especially when it has those nice flavors to it, like nut or salty or something.
But when you first saw it, was it bizarre or not?
A little, but not so much that I wasn't willing to try it.
Yeah, it's better than fish head soup to me. Because the fish head, you know, you can see the fish head, and it's kind of the fishy flavor. I don't know. I'd rather have the dried squid myself than the fish head. Have you ever eaten fish head soup?
I think so.
I probably have.
You've probably
eaten
the soup, but have you eaten the head?
No.
It's interesting with people that you're with, that some of my Chinese friends, they'll say, who gets the head? They get the head. I say, you can have it, you know, as far as I'm concerned. There's something about the fish head. There's not that much to eat in it, but I know people who know how to eat it very precisely and get little pieces out of it, and they love it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really not saying I don't love it. Do you like it?
I like fish cheeks.
Oh, fish cheeks. Not the whole head.
No.
Okay. But that was different for him. And, of course, pickled duck tongues. Now, I think in the Western world, they'll eat tongues of certain animals, won't they? Beef tongue and things like that?
Yeah, I grew up on beef tongue.
Did you? Yeah. The idea doesn't sound good, but, you know.
In my family, like our cooking culture, we don't eat it, but I've heard of it. You can buy it at the butcher.
Yeah, I guess you could. But I don't know about duck tongues. And what about these 1,000-year salted eggs? That's just the name of them. They're not really 1,000 years, but they seem like that when you eat them, the salted eggs. Are those the kind that are green and gooey in the middle? I think they are.
I think I've tried them once.
Yeah, they're
lots
sort
of my friends.
The inside
them when
is very
out.
Soft, and they're kind of a dark greenish.
I think we tried them at a Vietnamese restaurant once.
Yeah, I've had people.
That's different from an iron egg, isn't it?
Yeah, I get mixed up on all these.
They are
eggs.
A challenge. So, what did this Irving finally say about it?
Well, he says, "Don't tell me what I've." I think this is a great kind of rule. Don't tell me what it is until I've eaten it. Sometimes things taste good, and then you find out what it is, and you're like, "Really, I ate that?"
Well, I kind of like to know first. Would you?
It depends.
It depends. I had a friend do just that with me. She was Brazilian. She took me to a very authentic Brazilian barbecue. And she said, I'm going to give you a food that I really love. It's my favorite thing to eat here. But I'm not going to tell you what it is until you've eaten it. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I trust you. And I tried it. It was really good. I had several. It ended up being chicken heart.
Oh.
It wasn't bad. I liked it.
Chicken hearts. I think Westerners have sometimes put those in stew and stuff, too.
Oh, no. It depends upon the part of the country you're from.
I've eaten
chicken hearts lots of times.
That was the first time I'd ever seen one or eaten one.
Okay.
South, but it's Southwest cooking in Texas.
Yeah. Yes. See, I'm from the South.
Oh, the South. Is that right?
The real South. The Southern accent.
The Deep South. Oh.
Right. The Deep South, right. Well, the idea is don't tell me till I've eaten it. I suppose that way you might enjoy it if you don't know what it is. But on the other hand, I sort of like to know. Do you?
Well,
you
now I certainly
alligator?
Do.
I've
Back then,
alligator.
I didn't have a choice then. I was
have
a child.
Have you ever had alligator?
I don't think so.
I think I had it at one of the nice hotels in Taipei. It had a wedding banquet in it. But I think it said alligator on there.
I've had it before.
Yeah. It's kind of whitish kind of a meat, isn't it?
Did it taste like chicken?
No, it had the texture of chicken, but it had a fishy taste to it. Mm. I don't know if it was particularly not good alligator, like not
no,
a good cut of it,
all,
but...
It's just fishy. Yeah.
It wasn't... I might try it again. I don't know.
Well, it was bizarre,
it
I think, anyway. But, you know... Many business travelers and people who live and work in other countries, like some of us who teach and help in other countries, they face this, what you would call it, a challenge. It's a culinary and social dilemma. Now, those are two different things here, culinary.
Culinary has to do with food. That's really what it means, having to do with
food. What about the social dilemma part?
Social means your impression on your hosts, how well you want to get along with them, how you want to interact with your group of people.
And they don't want to insult their hosts, and they don't want to lose their business, too. But also, we really don't want to insult people that have different ideas than we have. I think that we're trained to be considerate of other people. But then when it comes right down to it, it might be a little difficult if you have to eat, you know, boiled cockroaches or something. It will really test that a little bit for me. What about
I won't
you?
Be testing that for you. Yeah. I like this word dilemma. One of the I was researching it, and one of the explanations gave was that it's choices, but there are options, but neither one are very good.
You don't know which one to choose. Right.
So I was looking at the sentence thinking, oh, it is true, in the culinary dilemma. You don't eat it, so you choose not to eat it, but then you offend your host. So not to offend your host, you eat it, and that's your other choice. You know, neither one of those options seem
very,
very
good
to me.
Especially if it makes you feel sick afterwards because you're not used to it. But anyway, you don't want to insult people. And this is one of the reasons you sometimes do it. You do not want to make them feel bad, to insult them. And, of course, you could lose a business deal, I suppose. But the main thing is you want to do the right thing. So what's being served seems kind of difficult to eat or to consume. It seems I can hardly think of eating that. Or downright disgusting, which means you just think, Nishang Bukai, there's no way I'd eat that.
Right.
The only thing I ate that was downright, I didn't eat it, but it was placed before me, was little puppy tails once in Sichuan. The puppy dogs, they take little tiny dogs and cut the bottoms and put them in soup, and there's a little tail sitting up there. And that was a delicacy. It was by a TV station, and they meant very well. But I was with Ruth, our teacher Ruth, and she can eat everything, even rats and stuff like that. Like, Ruth, you have to eat my puppy dog tail. I just can't do it. Because it seemed kind of disgusting to me, the little puppies, to cut their tails off. But that's because, to me, it was bizarre. To those people, that was a delicacy. So it's just the difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that seem a little disgusting to you?
Yes, to any listeners wondering what Westerners think of meat. I feel like any animal that we would keep as a pet in our home and love it and treat it like a child almost, we're probably reluctant to eat it.
I don't even know if I'd want to eat pig's tails. You know what I mean? It's just the idea that the tail was on the end of it. There was the meat there. The bottom was there, too. Ugh. Anyway, a little disgusting. But experts in the business etiquette say that there is no easy answer, so it is a dilemma.
Right.
What's your suggestion then?
Well, let's see what the experts have to say, what we can do in this kind of situation. It's very difficult.
Let's read on.
Bizarre, but safe. Physicians who specialize in travel medicine say a plate of garlic crickets or another food considered bizarre by many Americans is okay to consume if prepared in a sanitary fashion, but it may be wise to eat lightly. Travel medicine expert Phyllis Kozarski says foods abroad that Americans consider bizarre point out cultural differences and may not be more dangerous to one's health than foods commonly eaten. If something is cooked and steaming, most likely it's going to be pretty free of bacteria, says Kozarski. Dr. Paul Sanders says it may be wise to not eat too much of a bizarre food. If you eat something new, the intestines may not handle it well.
Well, this is talking about bizarre but safe. Now, some bizarre things, I think, are not even safe. So if they're not safe, you have to think of your health. But they're talking about things that are a little bizarre to you, but they're still safe to eat.
Right. So we look at here, it says, physicians who specialize in travel medicine, okay, so we have physicians that really are, that's their specialty, say a plate of garlic crickets or another food considered bizarre by many Americans, it's okay. Especially if it's sanitary. And sanitary means it's clean.
But how can you be sure it's sanitary? And some things is kind of hard. Like, for instance, you take things like zhanglang, cockroaches. They're actually quite a filthy little insect because they go into toilets and things like that, and they get stuff all over their legs. So who wants to eat it? However, if they've been really cooked for a long time, then that might take care of that. So maybe they are sanitary, but they still seem unsanitary to me, as well as ugly, and I could never think of eating one. What about you?
I don't know if I would ever eat a cockroach, but you never know where those animals have been caught. If it were like a cockroach like bred in captivity, I think I would think it would be clean. But if they caught it in their bathroom out back, like, hey, let's cook this.
How do you know?
See if someone will pay money for it.
No, it is true. If they've been done in deep fat and fried and stuff, they might be sanitary. So it's just kind of the idea more than anything.
Okay, yes, the idea.
The idea, anything. But he says, well, if they've been prepared in a sanitary fashion, and that's another thing when you travel to a lot of different countries, especially those more underdeveloped types of countries, they often don't have the sanitary facilities.
You need to be careful.
So glad that Asia has come a long ways now. When I first came here, people used to wash the rice bowls and things you'd sit out in the street and eat, and they'd wash them in dirty water that was kind of cold, and you didn't feel it was very sanitary. Now they don't do that anymore, thank goodness. I'm glad we've improved the sanitary conditions.
Right, and the utensils also used to be shared, and they were also washed in cold water.
Right.
So it was.
But things have changed a lot, which
right.
is really good, but there are a lot of areas in the world where they aren't.
I like the next sentence here, the but. Okay, if it's prepared in a sanitary fashion, you might consider eating it, but it may be wise to eat lightly.
Don't eat too much of it, right. That's true, yeah. So it says that there's another travel medicine expert. Her name is Phyllis Kozarski. What does she say?
Well, she says that foods that are overseas or abroad that Americans might think are a little bit unusual, they point out cultural differences. And they're not really that dangerous to one's health. You might think, I've never even thought of eating this before. But really, it's no different than eating a hot dog at home or something. It's
mm-hmm.
just, you the know, idea. The different culture likes a different part of the animal or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it's cooked and it's steaming, it said it might be free of bacteria. And this is one thing I think we have to be careful of. This is one thing I've had a problem with sometimes when we're served chicken and things like that, mm. and there's still kind of red blood you could see in it, and you know it wasn't cooked very well, then I'm thinking that might be a health thing. It's not just cultural.
Yeah, we always send it back and ask them to re.
But not if you're at somebody's house.
No, then I just eat the – that is true. I just eat the outer edge.
Yeah.
You know, I don't go to – because that is very, very dangerous.
Well, and almost anything, they'll say whether it's meat or eggs, you should have your eggs well done now because they might kill the salmonella in it. And this is why I feel about meat. Sometimes if there's things that is not healthy in meat, if they're cooked long enough, then it might kill that off. This is my problem with eating things like raw fish and those things. A lot of people eat them, but they're not cooked. So if there's any little kind of intestinal things that will hook onto your intestine in them, they will there go up to your liver and you get liver cancer. So I think cooked things are always safer to me than raw things. Don't you think so?
Except for vegetables.
But eating
yes.
vegetables, you have to be a little careful of.
Right? I totally agree. I don't like raw meat.
But if you eat something new, like, you know, your intestines might not handle it well. In fact, eating pig's intestines and things like that are not things we're usually used to, some of us. But there are people who are.
Well, I think in Europe, they're more, you know,
right.
that's often the casing for real hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't usually chop them up and eat them.
No.
But actually, I've had them, and it is quite tasty.
Oh, intestines mm-hmm. or the casing.
Well, let's read the last paragraph and see what else would happen if we refuse these.
Refusing can be insulting. Refusing an unappealing food, though, could have consequences. It is considered an insult not to at least taste every item set before you, says etiquette expert Cindy Side. This is no different than someone coming into my home and refusing to try something I prepared or specially ordered for them just because of the way it looked or their past bias.
So we said that it can be a challenge or it could be an insulting or make people feel bad. So if you refuse this kind of food that you don't like, it's unappealing, it does not look good to you, it could have certain results.
Right. So you need to at least try it, according to Cindy Side. She says she's an etiquette expert, and she says that it's often considered an insult if you don't say, okay, I'll just try one bite of
I'll
it.
I'll just taste it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we say that to our friends. If we have friends from other countries visiting us and eating American food, and they say, I don't think I like that, we say, well, just taste it. Just try it. And if we like something, we always try to let our friends just try it, don't we?
Right. And that's what I also did with my kids. You just sometimes, you know, you say you don't like it and you've never tried it. Just try one bite.
Kids, that's the same way with kids when they're growing up. They don't want to eat certain things and say, just try it.
Well, on a positive side, trying something unusual to it improves relations with your host or the people you're trying to maybe have a business deal with, someone who's hosting you in their home. If you just try even a little bit, it's kind of like learning a few words in their language. It's saying, I want to learn more about you, more about your culture and country and your food, and I'm willing to step out of my comfort zone for you. And that's a really kind gesture, and I think it's worth a little bit of culinary discomfort.
That's right. I think we do have to try. Many times we've had to, when people will put something on your plate or say, we made this specially or something, then you have to do it.
I also think that across cultures, we need to be aware. You know, I think now in this very technology savvy world, we are aware of what goes on around the world and what makes people have these kind of feelings. So I would never put something very, very strange in front of a guest. Especially the first time.
This is something you can talk about with your friends, and you can tell us about it on Facebook and see any cultural experiences you've had in other countries. And we'll come back tomorrow to talk more about the subject. So you talk and write about it to your friends today, and be sure and join us as we take up this same subject tomorrow. Will you all be here with us?
Yes.
Of course.
Yes, and the people listening in, you'll be here too. So we'll see you then. Have a good day, and be careful what you eat. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.